right, beautiful people, on this beautiful throwback Wednesday here, 103.7 VPA. Big Rob here. We got a guest in the studio.
Yes, sir.
City councilman. He's an elected official, but he's here on a business endeavor today. But we still going to ask him about what's happening in the city.
Business. Business. He say he here on business.
Listen, always got to do that, huh?
Right here on business today. Yes, Ronald Jenkins, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Good to see you. Welcome back to the city.
Yes. Yes, good to be here. Trying to get it together.
Always good to have him back in the city for a couple days.
Yeah, good to be here. Good to be here. You're busy as always. Your nonprofit, West Michigan Lakehawks, Lakehawks in Flight. Mm-hmm. What is the correct name?
Lakehawks in Flight Foundation.
There you go. They always in flight too, Rob. They
out there. They got them wings flying.
The wings flying, bro.
Yes, sir.
Exactly what you said. The wing of the Lakehawks, man. So that foundation, man, we try to stay busy and doing things in our community, man, and making sure that we're mentoring and doing something for youth. That's what it's all about.
The fishing outing at Mona Lake. How long you been doing that?
This is our fifth annual, man, that we've been doing this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And it's coming up when?
June 13th. We're going to do it June 13th and June 14th. So it's a Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be June 13th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then June 14th, we go 10 to 12 noon. Even though those time frames are there, we're always there longer.
Okay.
But it's just an opportunity, man, to get our kids out there, because like we say all the time, you teach a young boy, a young man, or a young lady how to fish, they'll never go hungry.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's it's important that we show them different ways of eating and maintaining, being able to survive. So that goes in part of other things that we do that we'll talk about later too. But it all comes together at the end of the day.
So y'all gut the fish while y'all out there? They catch them?
We have done that. We've actually cleaned them and cooked them out there while we was out there.
Somebody bring the grease.
We've actually
define the pot.
And we've had Danny Lang in the past come out.
Danny.
We set up, because we do, man. People don't understand. I mean, out at Mona Lake, we do have a fish cutting station out there.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it's a fish cutting station right out there. So we actually have that set up. And there's time when we have done that. We've cooked fish, hot dogs. It just depends, because some people don't eat fish.
Right.
So we actually have other food out there that suffice those that don't eat fish.
But Danny's good. I say, because he's been trying to get me to bring a wildebeest
back from Tanzania.
Yeah.
I'm like, bring something back.
He want to cook that.
Man. He will cook it too.
He'll figure out a way how to season it.
I seen his new truck going up, so he'll find a way to try to cook it. Yeah.
How many kids do you think y'all have impacted so far?
Oh my goodness, man. Over the years, man, we normally have anywhere from 30 to 40 some kids come out at a given time. And this year we're already looking at it getting bigger. I mean, we've had kids coming from Grand Rapids, from Spring Lake. Their grandparents bring them out. So we're looking at it being even bigger this year. So we're asking people, those that have their fishing poles, bring them. But those that don't have them, we do have fishing poles for them too. So
wow, that's dope, man.
So it is. I mean, it's very important that we just get a hands on with our young people, just to show them different things and show them that there are people that care with that care about them more than just being in the streets, more than just basketball games or football game, baseball or whatever the case is, but about living and learning how to live.
What kind of fish out there?
Man, there's I've caught some specks, I've caught some sun rays, I caught a catfish. I was out there like this, man.
Really?
Yeah.
A catfish?
Yeah. Yeah. I've caught some stuff out there too. I mean, great, man. It's opportunities out there that if you don't go out there, man, it's amazing. Mona Lake is a diamond in a rough for us in our city. Yeah. And you know, that's why, I mean, we could go any other place, whether it's fishing or camping, but we choose to stay here at home.
Right. Right. So you guys would make sure you're utilizing that, what we got there.
Exactly.
Man, I would love to see an amphitheater out there. I love small amphitheater. It don't have to be the 5,000, 10,000. You know what I mean? Maybe 1,200, Rob, or 800 amphitheater off the water. And let us do some events out there and kind of change the narrative.
Man, we really got to have a economic director to come in, man, into our city.
Right.
Development director to come in, and that can handle some of the things that our staff cannot handle.
Right.
And that's just the way it is. I mean, until we can fill those revenue generating positions, that will be able to work with business owners and be able to talk business with those owners, you know, we're going to be somewhat at a standstill. We're moving forward, but we're not moving as fast as we want to move. So
Yeah, it's tough everywhere.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Unless you're in Florida, where they got a surplus now and then. Oh,
yeah. PA sit on a board down there to handle
not no billions. Board, but I was on that handle board, but they
billions
got people coming, man. You want to create a destination that people want to come.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah, and that's what it is, man. Being able to have a place where people feel comfortable. We always say, I mean, we're the city of friendly people. But man, when we really look out, I mean, we're not as friendly as we should be, mm-hmm. and that's some things that we are looking to correct individually.
I've been hearing some stuff in the streets. They're friendly,
so yeah,
they're friendly. You just don't know about that side.
Oh, okay.
Come from Detroit, bro. You get a play. You come from Chicago, you get some game on.
Yeah, well, internally, you're right.
I know we're talking business.
So, right.
Fishing. Do they leave the head on the fish, man?
Man, when we cook it, no.
They gotta eat all that.
I don't want to see nothing that's looking at me, man.
PA sucked the eyeballs out.
Not the eyeballs, brains, Rob.
The cheeks.
Eating it all.
Oh, PA eat it all.
There's meat behind the head, but if this is a small speck, you probably ain't got time to be playing around with it.
I've never ate meat behind the fish, man. Behind the fish head.
You have to go to one of these African restaurants with me. I'll show you.
I'll go, man, but I don't know about doing all that.
Do you waste the meat?
Listen, I'll try some different things, man, but I don't know.
Once you see it, it's good meat. Yeah.
And they bring the head out, the eyeball still attached, all that.
It's fried.
I don't need to see all that.
And Paul just sit there like it's nothing.
Oh no, bro. What? No, man, that's fish is very healthy.
Oh yeah, I know that. I love fish.
So y'all here eating chitlins. You know?
Who ain't? I ain't eating any chitlin.
I'll eat some chitlins.
I will. Just give me some hot sauce, man. I'll throw down too now. Yeah.
All right. So we got the fishing event coming up on the 13th and the 14th
of June.
June. That's coming up in next week, not this weekend. Weekend after next.
Yeah.
And how do people sign up?
They can go right to our website and go to the Lake Hawks and Flights website. They can also call the office at 231-769-9617. Either way, you can email us as well at LHIFFFoundation@gmail.com. That's Lake Hawks and Flight Foundation at gmail.com. That way we can get a number of people that want to come. We're still looking for people. If you want to sponsor or donate, we're open to that as well. I mean, we're appreciative of the Michigan State Police, our guns program, the city of Muskegon Heights. I mean, they always find a way to be supportive of the things that we're trying to do in our city. So we just want to continue to reach out, man, and just throw a shout out to those types of people. And Lazarus, Cedric Scott, he's always a part of me. He's a fisherman at heart anyway. And we never give enough credit to Lazarus Consulting, man, because he gives back to our community and trying to help with different avenues, man. Those are young people, our families that are hurting.
Right.
He tries to give back to them as well. So
very good, brother. We are fortunate to have him back in the community.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So yeah, so all these people, man, and our staff, man, I can't give enough. We even got Sarge and Doc in this year, man, that's putting in time to go out on that fishing bank. Joey Williams going in. The ladies, man, I can't say enough about them. The administration, everybody's just, I mean, they're doing it. I mean, Janet, Catrice, Sherelle, we got everybody that's out there doing these things, man, putting the time in to make sure that our young boys and girls are working behind the scenes.
All right. Should be packed next weekend coming up for the free fishing event. And it is from 11 a.m. to 2 o'clock p.m., then 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's not the overnight, then.
No, that's not the overnight. We got to get to that one. We only in June. That's an event that's in June.
We got July and August.
He said you gotta slow down, PA.
Yeah,
gotta move it. Move along.
Some people that help them out, man.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to forget Erica. Erica does a wonderful job as well, man. She has her own program that she does with youth. I see her doing some things with soccer now.
Career. Yes,
man. But yeah, man. So there's
Erica Bell.
Erica Bell.
Yeah, there's some people, man, really? In our community, man, that's really doing some positive things to give back to this community. And I just don't want to miss anybody. But she also works with us diligently when we're doing any of our events. So I want to make sure I told her next time I do it, I won't forget to give
her a shout out.
Make sure I remember
Erica
that.
Bell.
Before we get to the next event, I'm going to say shout out to Giovanni Rogers. I know
Gio.
Yeah, he got Jay. I'm a little short today, but he got the Fest in the Park event coming up.
That's my guy.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Love also, Anderson Robinson saying, good job, Ron. He's part of your crew, right?
Yeah, yep. Andy Robinson. I'm going to get a chance to say him and GV, all of them, man. This is a good group of people, man, that comes out to be supportive of what we're doing.
So the golfing is coming up in August,
July 11th. We have our charity golf outing. I mean, that's another fundraiser that we do. We've been doing that for roughly about, I can't even remember now, about 8-9 years. If not more, that we've been doing that golf outing, but that's Saturday, actually July 11th. So that's going to be a shotgun starting at 9 o'clock, but registration starts at 8. Again, you can register online. We have sent links out, but you can call the office again for that as well. But we're definitely looking at all the golfers. People come out, let's go ahead and support, because the funds that we get behind this, it helps us do more things in our community. So okay. It's all a fundraiser. I mean, we got prizes for just about everybody. I mean, especially first, second, and third place. So we see who can go out and be the best golfing team. But it's not about that. It's a fundraiser. So those individuals that I've supported over the years and know that, hey, I have your back and I do things, I'm looking for you to have our back when it comes down to this golf outing. Even if you can't golf or don't want to golf, you could sponsor a hole or just be a sponsor of the event. And that makes us available to continue to do the things that we're doing. Because we, as you see already, we have some positive things that we're trying to continue to do throughout the summer months.
Right.
Not including the things that we're just doing at the building.
Right.
But just being able to be out in the community, and it takes money, it takes finances to do it. Right. And normally I don't talk about that, but right. Now, you know, I'm at that point, Rob, that if you don't ask, you don't receive.
You got to get it. You got to get it.
So those people,
they see you, they think you just got money that's getting printed out back there.
I don't know where they think they coming from. I don't know.
But how much did the sponsor hold?
Sponsor hold, I think it's like $200 just to sponsor.
Oh, hold. Wow.
Yeah,
$150. I'm sure us and the Masonics could probably do that, right?
Not in our financial condition right now.
He know. He said in 2026.
Nah, he know.
The year 2026.
He remember. He know.
We want.
He can get a financial report and see.
The brothers can donate $10 a piece.
They got it. Yeah, they got it. Rob can make that. If he can get that one, then we can do.
Man, Rob is the man. Man, don't let him fool you, man. Rob is the man.
I know. He got his whole office full of Numanani stuff back there, right? Ain't no radio station stuff in his office.
I bet you it is. I bet you it is.
He got all the different color hats.
Right.
He know what door to walk in.
Right, he know who to talk to. He know who to call back. Man, who to thumb.
Listen. Highly respected, man. Muskegon don't realize what we really have here. Yeah. Rob. And I'm not just saying this because he's here, but, man, to have someone of his hierarchy really sitting amongst us, man, and even you, P.A., I mean, I don't think we really understand, even as a black man, of the altitude that you guys have reached already in your lives, but able to help others reach it as well. You guys are not selfish with that. And that's another reason why I look up to you all as well. I mean, the things that you all do, people would be amazed that places that you can go, you go all over the world. And we hear about some of the stuff that you do and going all the world. Big Rob don't really talk about it.
Yeah, he quiet on here.
He don't really talk about it. But Big Rob can go anywhere in the United States and sit amongst the hierarchy of the best. And I appreciate him for that, man, because he's still humbled and still trying to save lives here in Muskegon.
Yeah, I know. I see it. The calls come in from all over. Yeah. All over. You know,
yeah, people don't understand it. Don't,
man. You got a radio show to do, Rob.
I know.
I'll be saying that to him. You got a radio show to do, Rob.
Oh, why they calling you? Why you doing radio?
He's 150 degree, man. I got to talk to him. I'm trying to get there.
150 degree? Oh, I don't know about that one, man.
Me either, bro.
But anyway, Muskegon, Ronald Jenkins in the building. You also city councilman, city commissioner.
I get mixed up.
Muskegon commissioner. Where I stay at in Florida as a commissioner, or where the business at as a council person. You know, it just gets you thrown off.
They all the same, but they just got different roles and responsibilities. But it's all the same.
We had Brother Derek on, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and internet was on fire.
Hey.
We was getting text messages and calls.
Personal text messages
and
stuff. Yeah.
And everything, man. That's,
yeah. We show. He ain't lying. We got it.
there's going to be a hearing about the proposal for tax increase? So
yeah, we're actually going to do. There's going to be a town hall that's going to be held, and I think our city needs to understand. I mean, I think everybody needs to be educated into really where we are, what we're doing, and why we need to do some of the things that needs to be done in the city of Muskegon Heights. You know, we don't. There's some things that should have been done years ago, but we can't harper on that. You know, if we want to save our city, there's things that has to be done, things that needs to be done. And either we do it now or we take the risk of losing our city or being told what we need to do when we have the ability to do it now ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we just have to make some tough decisions. And even as a council, I mean, people don't understand that is a hard position. I mean, there's times where there's sleepless nights with it because you're struggling because you know that you have to do some things. Our city, I guess I was even coming up in church, man, you know, you always say, you know, don't say what you can't do.
Right.
You know, because I mean, if we are God's people, we can do all things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what it said. We can do all things.
13.
You know, so at the end of the day, we have to do what we have to do if we're going to save our city.
Right.
So from a business standpoint, and that's where I look at it. I look at things. There are tough decisions from a business standpoint that we must do. And we got to take that leadership role. We got to roll up our sleeves. And even though they're tough, we got to help people get through. There are help out there. There's other avenues. There are financial, there are grants and things out there from the state standpoint that we also can take advantage of that we have not took advantage of in the past.
Right.
And this is what we've been talking about when we're talking about generating revenue. We have to have the right people in positions in order to work these things out. And in the past, we have not had it. We've just been stand still. We've been stuck in a position, and I don't no longer want to be in that position. I say that we have to move. Mm. And regardless of what people say or do, we have to vote to move this city forward.
Ron, what do you think been the big difference between Muskegon Heights and Benton Harbor? The demographics are similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, granted, they have a Frigidaire Whirlpool in Anchor in the city. Or close by, that makes a significant investment. Well, because they're moving in the right direction.
Well, the honest opinion, the difference that I know, even when Mayor Watt was in, we used to have a lot of talks because he was good friends with Mayor in Benton Harbor. So one of the things that I seen differently was that they were able to get the council to come together to work for one common cause. Yeah, everybody have their difference in opinions, but even though I disagree with what you may want to do, but is it in the best interest of the city?
Right.
That's what we got to look at. I mean, and Benton Harbor started making decision what was in the best interest of city, not individuals, not their constituents, but what's in the best interest of that city. Yeah, we all got people that voted for us.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we said we were going to run. We were going to stand for certain things. But as we got in these positions, we understand that there's bigger than what it is. It's a whole lot more entangled into these decision making processes. So from a business standpoint, we have to some things we have to change. Some things we have to adjust to. And that means even though I may vote against what you're saying, or I may not agree, when it comes down to vote, my vote may be a yes.
Right.
My vote because I want to show that we're together. My vote may be a no because I just don't have enough information as to why we're going to do this. And there's some things like that decision that we got to make now. I don't really have all the information, but I know it's in the best interest. So I'm still studying right now before my meeting to get what I need to have so I can make the right decision. So at the end of the day, you guys, I found out ways I can go to sleep at night. And that's studying, preparing myself before a meeting. And then when I make my vote, I can rest on that. So
because that housing thing, you get more people, you get more tax base. Right?
Yeah. And
that's mathematics. Yeah.
We have. And again, that is a council thing. That ain't a city thing. That is not residential thing. That is a council thing that we Benton Harbor made those decisions.
Right.
We come together. We set aside any differences to move the city forward. As a council, and I've been trying to talk to many of our councils, even one-on-one, we have to get aside of whatever set us back before in the past and move forward. We got houses that we're still sitting on from 2024.
I know, man.
Needs to be sold.
Yeah.
There are people who already have been told that they received these things. They've already been ready to move on them. But then as council, we have halted on it. We have stalled on it. And because it's a supermajority vote, it doesn't move forward.
Supermajority mean five?
It's five votes for us. And unfortunately, I mean, there's times when we don't even have we only have six people to meet when it's come down to vote.
So what happens then when it's the six people?
You still got to have five people to vote.
Oh, wow.
So stall it out to the next time.
So the process, some of the processes have been stalled over time, and then our citizens don't hold us accountable, or those that stall the process, we don't hold them accountable for that. But we get out on social media, we get out in the community, and we talk about what should happen, what's not happening, instead of coming to the council meeting and saying, listen, council, we hold you guys accountable for this here. We need you all to vote your conscience, vote the right way, vote on behalf of the people. But we put a show on when it comes, when the cameras come on, we put a show on and not make those right decisions. So I say to us, if we want to see a difference, come to our council meetings and sometime listen before you start talking. Because if you start talking before you listening, you'll miss out on some great details on why some things are important. So going back to your town hall that you asked about, the town hall is going to discuss some things and the reasons why. Our tax base, no. Our tax base is not as high as people say they are. Yes. Do we pay a lot of taxes? Yes. But compared to our neighboring cities? No. But why are those tax numbers high? Because we don't have housing. We don't. Our tax base is not where it's supposed to be at, not where they need to be at. So we don't have that revenue or those houses in. Then, okay, so those numbers are going to be higher than everybody else's. So when you're looking at 9,000 residents, but you only have maybe 5,000 homes, what do you have? And having them rent it out. So
it, you got to get some more homes. Got a lot of land.
Got a lot of land.
Sister Danielle Matthew Tower said, we have to have neighborhoods that people would choose to build and live in. New, walkable, healthy neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible. I mean, I could see a gated community in Muskegon Heights. Gated community. One. An inclusive community.
There is one.
Stop it.
And even what Danielle is saying there, I mean, and this is something that we're saying in our council meetings. We meet with Chief a lot on these things too. Our neighborhoods, our citizens need to know that they're safe.
Yeah.
So it's important. So even the things that like you said, the things that we got to vote on coming up, millages and different things, it's very important that we make tough decisions.
Right.
If we want our neighborhoods to be safe,
right,
we have to have the finances to do it.
Right.
And guess what? I'm just be honest. If we don't do it, what do you think will happen?
Well, we know.
Guess what? Somebody going to come in and make the decision anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
we have to think outside the box. If we don't make the tough decisions, the city still got to run, right?
Yeah.
Still,
so the city do need more revenue.
We need more revenue.
And you believe the only avenue right now is increased property tax?
We're increasing revenue. We're increasing property taxes. I mean, we're increasing whether it's operational, whether it's safety millages. We have to look at these things. And there's nothing new under the sun. Other municipalities do the same thing. We're just in a position as we are making other adjustments, as you talk about building homes, rehabbing homes, looking at bringing businesses in. This is a step that we have to do first because we can't get to step three and four if we don't get past step one. And
so
two.
How many of them properties that's been sitting for since 2024? How many of those is it?
To be honest, 30, I have 40. I
it's a, at yeah, least it's, 30, right?
It's a good number.
Good number. Let me just that's say like 30 number. Homes that could have been.
Yeah. And my thing is, from a business standpoint, I look at it the moment that we sell those properties, that is immediate cash on hand because they have to pay for those immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Then the moment you pay for those, now it goes on the tax roll. So now you receive that money in taxes. Not only do you receive those money in taxes, now you date it on from where you're going. So now you have to start having these inspections done. You have to go through all these other loops that the city needs to have happen anyway in order to make sure that your house or the property that you're doing is up to code anyway. So that is all revenue generating opportunities that we are missing on right now.
And you guys are at a dead lot based on some technicalities, I guess, on how things went. Hope we can get past that.
I hope we can. It seems like that we're getting there. We're getting close to just saying let bygones be bygones. Like I said, there's always hit and misses into what and why. Some of the decisions and things that people make. Like I said, these committees are in place for a reason. And these committees, we hold our committees responsible for just doing their job. When they come back to a recommendation, like I say, 90 to 95% of the time that a committee comes back to full council with a recommendation, as a council, we should be supporting those things.
Right.
That means they're done their work. They're done their due diligence.
Why you point them.
Right. They missed their work. They missed times with their families in order to have these meetings to do such a thing. It didn't matter what committee it is. It's whatever it is. We should be supportive. And so that's what I'm hoping that we get to.
Okay. Brother Andre Anthony said, how does getting potholes filled in your street works? How do you go by what he's supposed to do?
Well, the first thing that I say is to contact DPW. That's the first thing. Contact DPW, contact the city, city hall, and they'll let them know exactly what street, what area that is on. And then we have, I believe it's like 30 days or so to get to those areas and address it. So I want to make sure that our citizens know that, I mean, our DPW, are they understaffed? Yes, they are. They're trying to do some things. But yet at the same time, do we hold them more accountable to get these things done? The answer is yes. Okay. So we don't want excuses. So, Andre, we do the exact same thing. We drive these same streets. I mean, there are certain streets I learned not to go down because
you take your three-wheeler on them.
No. I'm sad, man. But
I'm sorry. So, I should have put that in.
So we learn these things, and we say the same thing. We want our streets to be better too.
Right.
So, and one thing I'll say this: I was so proud, but yet disappointed when our fire chief said our fire trucks would not be going down certain streets until we act and we fix those.
Right.
And our DPW got right on it and they got to it because, again, these are response times. So to the answer is get a hold of our DPW.
He said online or in person?
I would say go in person. I would say you can call as well. Also on the app. I want to make sure people understand. There's a City of Muskegon Heights app. You can get directly to each department and even the council, the mayor, city manager, you can get directly to them on that app. So download the City of Muskegon Heights app and you can share your thoughts, share your feelings with that as well. And you can put those comments on there. And that way we can trace that back down if things are not being answered.
Shout out to Troy Bell. This is not the app that he recommended, but he came up with the idea.
Yes, it was similar to it. And Chief Sane was able to follow up on it and make sure that we were able to get involved with the individual who was doing the app. And I think we were the first municipality
really
that actually put it together the way that it is.
I love it.
And once we got it, there was other municipalities that was joining in, but luckily we got grandfathered in because it is an expensive thing to do. Right. But we got grandfathered in, and so we're blessed to be able to have it. We still don't use it to the capacity that we could and we should. So I say to Andre, those of you that's going to go on the app and use it, if we don't answer right back or if they don't answer right back, just follow back up with City Hall or in the departments and then just say, hey, I've been on these apps, and we'll look better to do better that way.
Got another question from Sister Angela Locke. Said, why the city is not letting people buy lots?
I don't have a clear answer to that. I would say take that to our Buildings and Lands Committee, and they'll give the answer to that because I haven't not heard that we're not letting people buy lots.
Let me speak. The auction. You had the auction. It was some of the lots on the auction, right?
Okay. So if you're going back to those forfeited properties and those things, is that what we're talking about?
I'm assuming.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know.
So that's another list. Now we're talking about new things that's not on the forfeited list. That's something that doesn't come to the council that way. That goes to the city manager first, and then goes to the Building and Lands Committee.
Okay.
So I would say go that route. Always, that's not the forfeited list. Forfeit your list. You got a lot you see that you want to build on, you want to do something, take that to the city manager. The city manager would take that to the Buildings and Land and take that proposal, and hopefully we can move forward that way.
That's good. All right. Anything else before we go?
Also, we want to talk about our overnight camping. That's going to be in August. August 7th is our Turn in Lake Pink. That's for our girls. So that will start. We shut the lake down at 3 o'clock on that Friday and we open it back up at 11 o'clock. So that's an overnight stay for our girls. And then the following week is the April August 13th is our night on the lake for our boys. Again, same time frame. We teach our kids how to camp, how to survive if they got homeless, if things happen, if lights are cut off. What do you do? How do you survive? How can you do camping? How can you survive out there? Even the fishing and things, we still do that on those right. times. That's but it's cool. a lot of different things that we teach and we do and provide games and opportunities for them as well, mentoring opportunities.
Wow. Rashad, Brother Rashad Thoreau said, keep fighting the good fight.
Man, I'm proud of that young man.
Yeah,
I'm proud of that young man. He's doing some big things, man.
Amazing.
His mom, I know his mom is very, very happy, and she's looking down, man, and she's actually telling God to continue to bless them young boys.
She's sending blessings.
Man, she's sending blessings. Bless them young men. And, yes. I know the dad is proud. I don't say a lot, man, but I've had a chance to talk with him. Very intelligent, very smart, and he has some ideas as well that he wants to bring to the city of Muskegon Heights. And so it's some people, man, even young. We just got to get opportunities. If we, I mean, we should be saying yes, especially when it's not our dollar.
Right.
When someone come in and they putting their money on the
private
line.
Private sector. Yeah.
I mean, and you want to try something, yes. I mean, welcome. You know, welcome to the city of Muskegon Heights.
So. That's what cities that's winning. That's what they do. Angela Locke said, no, it's the lot next to my home.
Yeah. Yeah, Angela, go to the city, talk to the city manager, talk to Ms. Merriweather, and let her know exactly that's what you're doing, and you can move from there. Get a direction from the city manager, and she'll connect you. I'm pretty sure she'll connect you with the Buildings and Lands Committee and or the chair of the Buildings and Lands Committee, and then he can put that information on the agenda, on their agenda, and then they can talk about the things that they need to do in order to try to sell this property to you, especially if it's a buildable or non-buildable lot. So we got to look at that. If it's a non-buildable lot, it goes through a different process. It's a buildable lot. Of course, you know, we definitely looking at bringing in revenue and things like that. So, but most of these lots is next to people's homes. Some of them is not buildable. They just want to
extra space.
Yeah. So, but you know, just do that, and I'm sure you'll get another result behind it.
Right. I hope we can lock down a city manager. We let too many good people leave.
Yeah.
This is I'm saying like a turnover. Like, then good people leave.
Yeah. I mean,
and we always starting over again.
We have to accept. I mean, when we have people that's here that want to work and want to be there, you know, we have to be able to accept that. I mean, we're not going to always agree. You know, we have to learn to agree to disagree.
Right.
And when you got people that's heart is there to help move the city forward, again, we got to get out of the part that whether I like you or don't like you.
Right.
You know, this is a business.
Right.
This is a multi-million dollar business.
At the end of the day, it's a business.
At the end of the day, other places make it because they understand that. It is a business, and you have to operate as a business. So.
All right. City Councilman Ronald Jenkins, thank you for joining us.
Man, thank you all for having me. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Back to my